Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. You know, last year in the Super Bowl, there was lots of bets going on. A lot of people got nervous when Kansas City was down, even in the fourth quarter, but they pulled through for those Kansas City bettors, and they're right back here in the opener this season. So for game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. There's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. And what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Jesse Cass and Alex Zacher back with you here as the Clippers take a 3-1 lead in the series over the Nuggets. Alex and I are here to break it down. Alex, I know you've been keeping up with it up in Italy. Last time we talked was pretty much right before the series, so we've got, you know, a lot to unpack from these first four games, but obviously a good start for the Clippers. Commanding now 3-1 lead in the driver's seat in the series so far.
Yeah, for sure. The Clippers is playing their basketball. They play at great pace, and they're doing a great job, you know, making sure these guys aren't running and getting second shots, you know. So they're playing a great job, you know. I'm really happy the way they're playing, and it's at elite level as far as the getting to the goal, winning a championship.
Yeah, and it's been interesting so far in these first couple of games. Obviously, each game has its own kind of story and momentum, and, you know, predictably in game one, we saw the Clippers kind of really take control and dominate. Denver was coming off that game seven, seemed pretty exhausted, and they never really competed in that one. And then, you know, game two was honestly a frustrating one for the Clippers because Denver came out hot. Clippers kind of clawed their way back and seemingly had every chance to kind of come back and take that game from Denver, but just never could do it. And then, obviously, they've responded in games three and four, a close win in game three, and then a more secure go-away win in game four. So they've all been a little bit different, but obviously, especially in these past two games, we've seen the Clippers' defense kind of live up to the potential of what a lot of people feel like it can be with, you know, really stifling Denver and getting into them physically.
Pat Beverly's back. Been a pest that he is. Beverly and Kawhi Leonard are doing an excellent job bringing these guys to the trees as far as Zubac and Mo, and making sure they're not taking second chances, you know, on the glass. You know, these guys are playing, you know, awesome basketball from the defensive end. I think Pat Beverly and Kawhi Leonard, would they go second team all defense, I think.
Yeah, both just recognized with that.
That's awesome. And they should have threw in Mo as well. You know what I mean? He's an animal on the defensive end as well. Shout out to him for getting the Sixth Man Award, which is awesome. But for the most part, man, I just love seeing this basketball where they're stopping and making plays on the defensive end and not giving them second chances.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what we've talked about is the ceiling for this team and what they can do defensively. And, you know, of course, Paul George was out early in the season, but he's another, you know, elite defensive player, and he's done an incredible job on Jamal Murray for a good chunk of this series. And, you know, Ivica Zubac's young guy, but he's been incredible defensively. Marcus Morris, you know, you just go down the line and what they're able to do and throw out there with, you know, whether it's they're playing a big lineup or a small lineup, they have that versatility where they can really defend no matter what. And it's obviously paid off big time. And got to throw a big shout out there as well for Lou Williams, who's not known as a great defender at all, but who's put in tremendous effort and has really actually played great defense in this series. You can tell, you know, the effort that he's given, and there's been some talk about his scoring numbers being a little bit down, but, you know, the effort on defense for him has been tremendous, and it's really helped those second unit lineups. So, you know, another big shout out there, not only to the known defenders, but also to Lou and Montrez for coming through and defending when it's not necessarily what they're known for.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's buying into the system of actually contributing a lot more and doing the little small things that he needs to do in order to make this team successful. He's a weapon on the offensive end for sure. He can get his buckets whenever it's needed. But they need him to lock into the backup plan defense and coming off the bench and just letting the game come to him more than anything, but more being selfish on stopping this man. You know, he's coming in playing Harris. He did an excellent job. You know, Harris is, you know, shut him down, I would say, for the most part this game. Just really just picking up, you know, and turning these guys, you know. So I really, you know, respect what you're saying for sure. He's doing an excellent job on the defensive end.
Yeah, that's been a big boost for the Clippers. And we mentioned, you know, it's been a team effort, obviously. You know, Beverly and Leonard, Marcus Morris kind of switching on Jamal Murray. But for the most part, you know, it's been Paul George's assignment, and he has been incredible defensively. You know, he still had some up and down offensively. He was in big-time foul trouble this past game. But what he's done defensively on Jamal Murray has clearly frustrated him. And, you know, you can see such a vast difference from the Jazz series, of course, for Murray when he went off for 50 a couple times. He averaged 32, shot 55% in this series, averaging just under 18 points a game and shooting 38%. So Paul George has really made life difficult for Murray, and that's been a big key because, you know, Denver runs everything pretty much exclusively through Jokic and Murray, and with one of those guys struggling big time, that has obviously helped the Clippers in building this 3-1 lead.
Yeah, that's a huge dent in the shield for Denver. Making sure that Murray is, you know, not going off like he normally does, and putting these guys in pick and roll situations, to having the Joker happen to come out and defend the pick and roll. You got Zubac, you got Mo rolling extremely hard, finishing strong. So they're in jeopardy right now, figuring out what they need to do and how to play this thing, you know.
Yeah, and I'm curious if you saw what your thoughts are. I know Michael Porter Jr., who, of course, has had some really nice moments offensively. You know, he looked frustrated in the post game. You know, he had a big first half and then barely touched the ball in the second half. And, you know, essentially in the post game press conference, kind of threw his coaches under the bus a little bit, you know, talking about them running the offense through Jokic and Murray and how the team needs to include other players more. You know, that's obviously can be a valid complaint, but bringing that out in the media in playoff time, you know, a lot of players, including Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal, kind of spoke out against that on Twitter and thought that it was the wrong thing. So what are your thoughts on Porter and that situation?
Well, I think Porter's young. He's eager. He wants to play. You know, fresh legs with that age, you feel like you can, you know, jump to the moon. You can do phenomenal things. But, you know, you got to pay your dues. That's the most important thing. You know what I mean? This isn't his team. Murray and the Joker, this is their team. You know what I mean? The offense has ran through these guys, and the coach is relying on these guys to get it done. Now, whatever you bring to the table, Porter, is, you know, a high level, you know, what they want. But as far as what you want right now, they can't give it to you. You know what I mean? And you got to be able to make cuts, getting easy buckets, getting, you know, getting to that rebounding position where you can get the offensive rebounds, you know, and putbacks, running the floor, you know what I mean? Just being a gnat at that. And guys get paid at a high level doing this, you know what I mean? But for you wanting more right now, I understand it. It's ideal, but you just got to pay your dues for the most part right now. no shot to him at all, because Porter's doing an amazing job. You know what I mean? I think he had like 15 points this game, this past game, and he did a great job. You know what I mean? For his age, for sure.
Yeah, no, he's a tremendous offensive talent, and like you said, some of his gripes are probably valid of getting him more involved in the offense. But like you said, it's a youthful thing. But you know, taking that to the media, not addressing it with your teammates, you know, directly, I'm sure it was something that the coaching staff and team will talk to him about, and you know, didn't love, I'm sure, after that game.
Yeah, for sure. And you gotta think of this too. Like, you came off for like a really career ending injury right now. You know what I mean? So they're gonna play you with little minutes. They know what they're doing. They see a future in you right now. You know, I know you want to play and, you know, boast and show that you can, you know, be one of these elite players, which you can't be, and they see that. That's why you're on the court and on the floor. But for right now, they're monitoring your minutes and they're playing you the way they think that you can be, you know, a spotlight for them right now.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what effect that has on the next game. And we know this 3-1 lead for the Clippers. Something that's really stood out to me is, you know, the adjustments that Doc Rivers and the coaching staff have made, and just how they've managed the minutes of these players. And, you know, of course, you know, Paul George was in foul trouble, so, you know, throwing that out the window, the Clippers still, the past couple of games, have shortened their rotation. It's pretty much been a 9-man group with, you know, Reggie Jackson kind of being the odd man out. We've seen Shamet and Lou get those guard minutes, and then it's been Jamichael Green and Montrezl Harrell, along with the starting five of, you know, Beverly, George, Morris, Leonard, and Zubats. And, you know, on top of that, we've seen what people have been calling for pretty much all year, Zubats, especially in this matchup, kind of getting more minutes and playing in those closing stretches. And again, here in this game, nearly 30 minutes for Zu, and he again responded with a very efficient 11 points, 9 rebounds, couple of blocks, and, you know, just trying to defend Jokic as well as he possibly can.
Yeah, Zubats, man, shout out to Zubats. He's doing an amazing job. Since he's gotten the starting role, he's pretty much damn near been averaging like a double-double. He's been playing an excellent game, you know what I mean, throughout the postseason. I can't say nothing but good things about this dude. This dude is really doing his role to a high level right now. So Zubox is got my candidate for, you know, an X factor for sure in the series.
Yeah, and like you said, it's just, you know, granted he's a young guy too, but just talking about someone who, as you just alluded to, knows his role and just kind of stars in it perfectly. He doesn't try to do too much. He knows there's not going to be any real plays called for him, but sets hard picks, runs the floor, you know, finishes well on rolls and the pick and roll and on offensive rebounds, and provides great defense. So it's just kind of a perfect complement to have that type of player with a team that has, you know, prolific scorers and ball handlers that are going to have the ball in their hands more often, to have someone who doesn't necessarily need it but can still contribute.
No question. And those guys are hard to find, especially in a league full of guys that actually want to just, you know, be seen. Role players are, you know, really hard to find that can do what he does and just be a quiet ghost. But you wake up and he has, you know, 15 to 18 points and he's shooting 6 for 10 or something like that, all layups. You know what I mean? So he's doing a great job from that standpoint. One thing that I want to say, though, that you named the list of these guys from the bench on down is something that Denver doesn't have. You know what I mean? They don't have a bench at all, and that's the thing that's really killing them. With Barton out right now as well, who's going to pick up the slack? You know, we mentioned Porter that's doing a great job, but, you know, from his age, that's all he can do. They need a bench right now that can actually help them. That's the most important thing I think they need.
Yeah, that's a great point, because obviously you mentioned Porter and his 15 points, but outside of that, virtually no production from the bench for Denver. You know, they only played Mason Plumlee 9 minutes, Monte Morris played 16 but only scored 5 points, 1 of 6, Torrey Craig 0 for 3 from the field, and then, you know, Paul Millsap started but only played 14 minutes and only had 3 points. So, you know, they play basically 8-9 guys as well, and only Porter off the bench was a factor. And so they, yeah, as you said, the supporting cast for Denver outside of Jokic, who's been great, we talked about Murray's struggles, Gary Harris after a great game too has kind of come back down to earth, and Jeremy Grant as well. So yeah, their depth is struggling, and the absence of a scorer like Will Barton is definitely noticeable.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
So with this 3-1 lead, Alex, we know that obviously Denver just came back from a 3-1 lead in the last round. The last time the Clippers, although it, you know, 5 years ago, it's probably the most painful and hard to think about memory for Clippers fans ever, the 3-1 lead they blew to the Rockets. So the last time they were here, it didn't end well. How important is it for the Clippers, granted they have some wiggle room, but to try to close this thing out sooner rather than later, you know, with the opportunity coming up tomorrow in Game 5 to close this thing out on a Denver team that still has proven that they're tough despite it being a big advantage for the Clippers right now?
Yeah, for sure. Just getting over that hump will be, you know, a great thing and a great feeling for the Clippers, for sure. I know, you know, the ghost of Christmas past is in their mind. And you don't want to think about it, but, you know, history is what it is, you know. So you can use that to your advantage or your disadvantage, you know. The more you think about it, it can be to your disadvantage. But you just got to go take this game and do the exact same thing which you did. And just go at these guys' chest, you know what I mean? They didn't back down. I've seen them playing a lot of one-on-one with Mo, putting the Joker in, you know, situations where he can't guard and move laterally. So they got to continue to do that. They got to put him in, you know, situations. He is going to get his points, you know, 26 points. He's playing his game. You know, somebody's going to actually be, you know, a star on this team. But for the most part, they got to play the other end of the court. And you got to make sure that you go at these guys like they're doing every single time they catch the ball and not settle. So that's the most important thing. Just play their game and stay aggressive.
Yeah, that's something we talked about in our last episode with Fred Jones. And, you know, he was confident that this could be a series the Clippers could take control of and end pretty early. And so far, you know, that's held true. And we talked about what you were just mentioning as well. You know, the Joker and Murray and Porter, great offensive players, but players that you can kind of exploit on the other end, and especially in the case of Jokic and Porter. And we've seen the Clippers do that kind of relentlessly, put those guys in the pick and roll, take those straight line drives right at Jokic, go around him, get to the rim, and kind of create those rotations. And it's worked out really well for them on the offensive end, even when if they didn't make all the shots they could have made last game, but still kind of attacking them defensively and making them work.
Yeah, for sure. I think the key that they're having is pace. And I say this a lot is because the pace that the Clippers are playing, Denver is trying to catch up to it. But they're playing at their pace. They're confident and slowing the game down for them. These guys want to run. They want to run. They want you to make careless mistakes on offense so they can shoot threes, countless threes. But if they're slowing down, timid, and getting to their spots, like Kawhi Leonard is doing, pump faking, getting these guys in foul trouble, looking for penetrating gaps into the weakness of their defense and dropping it off, you know, and these guys are finishing like this, it's going to be a nightmare for them to try to come back and defeat the Clippers.
Yeah, and to the Clippers' credit, you know, they're saying all the right things. They're focused. You know, Doc Rivers was asked about one win away from getting out of the first round for this franchise for the first time ever, and you know, he responded that no one in that locker room even cares about that. That's not the ultimate goal, of course. And
yeah,
I think if one thing to take solace in with all that history and all those demons that are out there is that if there's a player who probably doesn't even think about it or notice it, it's got to be Kawhi Leonard. He's just he's locked in, and he's been outside of the one game, literally game two, where he had a poor shooting night. He has been dominant through every single game of these playoffs. And again, in game four, he led every statistical category for both teams: points, rebounds, yeah, steals, blocks, yeah, assists. He was a force, and he's been doing it on both ends of the court.
I mean, he's been amazing, man. Like, he's almost makes you numb of actually knowing, like, okay, he's not going to have a bad game. You just look past it. He has 36, 27 points. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's like given to him.
Yeah.
To this point of how much of a machine he is and how detailed he is. And he's the all-around player. He does everything. You know what I mean? Nothing in that stats that he can't do that he produces at a high level. So To have that on your team and not worry about it, man, that's awesome. To have a closer like that as well on your team is awesome. You know what I mean? To have a leader like that and a man of straight action, you know, something that this team needs. They've got enough voices from Pat Beverly. So you know, that's what these guys need, and he does it, you know, every team he's been on, from the Spurs, from the Raptors. You know, hopefully he will do it here, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure to watch, and like you said, the numbers in the last game, which is as we said, outside of one game all playoffs, were dominant again. 30 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks.
That's great.
You know, 39 minutes, and we kind of saw it throughout the year, and we were talking about it before the shutdown of, you know, there was some of the frustration of the load management and everything, but it obviously has paid off. He looks as athletic, as strong as ever, and, you know, playing, you know, nearly 40 minutes a game in these playoffs and, you know, not missing a beat at all.
Yeah. Speaking of athletic, did you see that block that he did with one finger?
Of course. I was going to ask you the same thing. That was insane. I mean,
that was crazy.
I mean, we already know about Leonard's, you know, crazy giant hands, but, you know, how strong are the fingers to get a block?
That was one finger, man.
And yeah.
That was crazy.
Just send it away with the middle finger at the end was just incredible. It was a great cap on a tough game and just, yeah, wild play.
Yeah, I mean, he does this. I mean, think about him hitting that shot against the 76ers and it's bouncing 5, 6, 7 times. You know what I mean? Those type of buckets and type of plays that he makes, he does that. That you be like, wow, what the? Rewind that again. Let me see that again. Zoom in. Like, what the hell? Yeah, so he's an alien, man, for sure.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit this year too, but, you know, when you talk about the best players in the game, and of course LeBron is always in that conversation, and something that always kind of separates LeBron from everyone else outside of his superhuman strength is his ability to pass the ball. And we've seen Leonard get so much better at becoming a facilitator and a great passer, and we saw the 9 assists in this game, but he's making some tremendous passes when he's been double teamed and seemingly always making the right pass and right on line. And, you know, his development as a true playmaker on top of being a great scorer has just led to such dynamic results offensively for the Clips.
Yeah, for sure. I think the trust factor is there for this team, him knowing that they're going to make the right plays, and he's not having to be so assertive into pounding the ball and dribbling and trying to take on double teams because they're coming for him. So, with that being said, you're right, man. He's been making excellent plays, reading off the double team, and he got guys that can catch the ball. Zubac is a brick, you know what I mean, with soft hands, and he does his job at a high level. And Mo is catching every single thing from lobs to bounce passes, and it looks amazing when these guys are playing, you know, a two-ball game with the pick and roll.
Yeah, and it really does, and it's funny too, because the Clippers, as we said, their defense has been really tremendous, especially the last game in particular. But, you know, the offense has been up and down in terms of shooting numbers, and, you know, Kawhi has been great, but the three-point shooting numbers are outside of Marcus Morris, who's been on fire, shooting 53% from downtown. They're actually pretty low, 33% as a team. Lou Will has struggled from three. Patrick Beverley struggled from three. Kawhi has not shot the three well. And it hasn't really mattered because, as you said, the defense has been there and they're able to score and you know, beat Denver in other ways. So it lets you know that if they start hitting these shots, that the room to grow and improve even more is there, because they've had a lot of open looks also that haven't gone down.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know the statistics as far as how many threes they're taking, but to me, by watching them play, it seems like they're taking less threes than, you know, other NBA teams for sure. So that statistic is kind of like, a way where they're not taking that many threes, but at the same time, the shots that they are taking, they're missing, understandably, but they're taking a lot of twos. They're getting to the basket a lot more. They got guys like Paul George, and Kawhi is getting the 15-footer, which is a lost arc, and knocking these shots down at a great percentage as well. So they're picking up the slack with that. As far as the rebounding, They're phenomenal with that. But the most important thing they're doing is actually making their free throws. You know, I think Kawhi was perfect from the free throw line, and these guys are really getting to the line and concentrating and knocking those things down too as well, which are huge.
Yeah, I mean, right to your point. Denver has attempted 137 threes in these four games. The Clippers 115, so 22 more three-point attempts. But the Clippers' defense, Denver's only made six more despite those 22 more attempts. And on the rebounding front, like you said, Clippers plus 20 in the series on the glass. And that's often, as we said, not necessarily with the biggest lineups out there. So they've done a great job of kind of team rebounding, gang rebounding. And, you know, that's another area where, underratedly, Patrick Beverley, again, makes such a difference, where he kind of flies in for offensive rebounds and gives them extra possessions, which are important in a lot of these close games.
Yep, for sure, yep. What's your predictions this next game? What do you think? What do you think, Jeff?
You know, there's always the worry about a little bit of a letdown and letting this thing get to game six, but I think the Clippers, their level of focus is just rising and rising. I expect them to come out with that right energy again. And, you know, Denver, you kind of alluded to it when we were talking before we started. You know, they've had games where they've looked really confident, but when the Clippers bring the physicality and kind of hit them with a punch, there's been a couple of games where Denver has kind of let go of the rope a little bit. And I think if the Clippers come out with a strong first quarter, strong effort right away, they can get Denver discouraged and end this thing. So I think if they come with the right mindset, that's what's going to happen. And, you know, knock on wood here, Clippers do that and get it done and win this one in five. Going into it, I predicted Clippers to win this series in five, so I'm going to stick with that. What do you think?
No, I think you're definitely right about that. What you said, they kind of back up and started like, whoa. I think that happened to them in the first quarter when they was like timid and like getting hit first instead of getting hit, and then they kind of like it was too late for them to react. I think the first quarter, actually the game was already determined. I think they had like 12 points that quarter, and now they were trying to play catch up ball from that point. So they have to know that they have to come out and be more assertive as far as getting to that glass and pounding it in the paint. But it might be too late for these guys, you know what I mean, to change their game and their style of play. When it's like this right now, I think it's going to be too late for them. And I think the Clippers are going to have their advantage for sure this game.
Yeah, and the first quarter has been important all series long. The one game that Denver won, of course, they went nuts and put up 44 first quarter points. And, you know, that was the game the Clippers tried to come back in. But as you said, in game four, it was kind of just decided with that one quarter. So we saw the reverse of that in game four, and I think the Clippers, hopefully, they learned their lesson from that one loss, and they've looked a lot better since. And I think, you know, as you said, Denver's been competitive for sure, and they're talented, but I think the Clippers know if they play the level of defense they're capable of, that they can end the series on Friday.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Alex, before we get out of here, just want to get your thoughts on the other series that have gone on. Obviously, Miami upsetting Milwaukee. You know, Giannis's injury played at the end of that, but Miami was outclassing them even before that happened. You got Toronto and Boston, incredible game the other night. They're going to Game 7. And then, of course, the Lakers and the Rockets, they've got Game 4 coming up as we record this on a Thursday. So that series is 2-1 as we record now. But your thoughts on the three other series that are going on right now in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I gotta raise my hand when I'm wrong. I wanted Milwaukee to bounce back and give a shot to the Heat, and I was definitely wrong. It was too late. These guys, Miami Heat, are dogs. You know what I mean? And they've been playing with that tenacity of going to get it, and they spotting blood in the water. They're sharks right now. So they have been playing a great job all the way through the series, and giving you know, the number one team a run for their money, the Milwaukee Bucks. Sad to see it go like that, and I hope Giannis is okay moving forward. What happened to him actually? Did he twisted his ankle or something like that?
Yeah, he had already had a sprained ankle, was playing on it and kind of retweaked it. So they, you know, at that point, they didn't want to put any extra risk on it. So yeah, they had him sit out game five.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, that's smart. They don't want to do something that Golden State should have did, you know what I mean, and destroyed their whole franchise by trying to play these guys in the playoffs last year. So
yeah.
He has a big contract coming up. They got to be smart about that, not throw him in the water with these sharks and trying to have him come back and mess up his knee or do something crazy like that, you know?
So, yeah.
I think it was a great call for them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That was the first series all playoffs long that I predicted incorrectly. I had Milwaukee too, and obviously Miami made it clear they were dominant in that series, and they look like they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what's more exciting than the, I shouldn't say more exciting than the Clippers by no means, but the Lakers and Rockets is a high-level offensive team, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just seeing LeBron James running down, chasing down these blocks is crazy at his age, you know what I mean? And I'm like, damn, this dude is, he's a machine. He's another machine like, you know, Kawhi Leonard. So it's great watching these guys play, watching Kuzman do an elite job on the defensive end and locking down. I like that series. I'm not going to say anything about what I predict because I've been wrong. So I'm going to watch that series and see what happens, you know. But I definitely would like to see the Lakers win, to see a L.A. Battle that everybody's wanted to see from this point on. But I think it's going to be a neck-and-neck game to game seven for sure with those two.
Yeah, that's a fun series. And yeah, as you said, we're all kind of, we've been anticipating Clippers and Lakers all year, so we're seeming like we're heading on that course. You know, Houston now missing Daniel House in that series, with him potentially being under investigation for bringing a girl up to his room. So that's a big loss for the Rockets.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, they're already short on depth and now missing one of their key guys. So not the best time for that to happen for House and the Rockets either.
Come on, man. How do you guys think you're going to sneak anybody in a bubble? Come on, man. You know they got cameras there. That's not... Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so so we'll see. We'll see what the investigation comes out with that. But it's another advantage for the Lakers and might bring us closer to that Clippers-Lakers matchup we've all been waiting for.
Yeah. Tune in.
All right, so we got the Clippers-Nuggets. Game 5 will be on Friday. It's a little bit earlier start time. They're the early game, the 3:30 p.m. game, with the Raptors and Celtics game 7 come on after that. So earlier start, but Clippers going to try to close it out, and we'll be back here to break it on down on the next episode.
Yep. I need that early start, man, because I'm all the way out here in Italy, 9-hour difference. So please, thank you, NBA. Let me get to the game, to the live game. Gee whiz.
There we go. Get it live for Alex over there, and even better, we'll have much more to talk about on our next one. Alex, thanks as always, and stay safe out there.
Okay, for sure. Thank you, guys.
That's it for this week's edition of the Believe in Clippers podcast. As you heard, Clippers Nuggets, Game 5, 3:30 p.m. on the West Coast. Clippers going to try to close it out, and we'll see if they can do it. As we said, we'll be back to break it on down right here on the Believe Podcast Network. Follow us on all the social media. Go to Believe.com. There's so many shows out there with a lot covering the NBA playoffs as well. So we'll talk to you again soon. Clippers Nuggets, 3-1 lead for the Clips. See if they can close it out. Here on the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network, and the only place for the show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.